40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Russian President Vladimir Putin says following a prisoner swap involving WNBA star Brittany Griner, there may be more swaps to come. John Kirby is a White House advisor.
We register what Mr. Putin said. Let's see what he actually does.
There are questions about why Brittany Griner was released and not fellow American Paul Whelan.
Paul was convicted on espionage charges. And in the Russian mind, that makes him different. That makes his case unique. And they were treating him differently and in a special category, from the very get-go. We did everything we could to try to get him and Brittany back together, but to no avail.
Brittany Griner was convicted of drug charges. She is back in the U.S. at a base in Texas. The DA for Colorado Springs says he tried to prosecute the gay nightclub shooting suspect last year on other charges, but he had to drop it.
According to newly unsealed court documents, family members of Anderson Aldrich were terrorized in June of last year. The suspect allegedly pointed a loaded gun at Aldrich's grandparents in their home and then threatened the mother at another house with a bomb. But El Paso County District Attorney Mike Allen on KRDO says when he brought the case to court,
his mother at that hearing described him as loving and passionate. His grandmother described him as a sweet young man and that he did not deserve to be in jail.
He says other relatives portrayed Aldrich as a danger to the family, an isolated, violent person who spent thousands of dollars buying 3D printers to make guns. Aldrich, who identifies as non-binary, is accused of killing 5 people last month at a gay nightclub. I'm Jackie Quinn.
An upset at the World Cup in Qatar in the quarterfinals. Brazil has been eliminated after losing to Croatia in a penalty shootout. This is AP News. In Britain.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Thank you. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. While Red Cross employees in Wisconsin consider going on strike, the Red Cross says it's made a generous offer to its workers. The humanitarian nonprofit says it's offered lump sum bonuses, annual pay raises, safety improvements, holidays, affordable health care, and paid family leave. Red Cross workers in Wisconsin are threatening to strike during the Red Cross's busiest blood drive of the year. Students at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville-Richland have delivered a petition to the UW Board of Regents asking to save in-person classes at their campus. But UW System President Jay Rothman says the decision to shut down in-person instruction in Richland Center is still necessary. In sports, Badger volleyball beat Penn State in a five-set tournament thriller last night. They advance to play Pitt tomorrow night. The Bucks are at Dallas tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy. What did I miss? Virginia, my home sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lines at every night. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on this Friday lunch hour, 12:06, December 9th. And we have a holiday party tomorrow, so we are getting ready for the weekend. We're headed to Madison.
Yes.
Hopefully the roads are a little better by the time we hit them.
Yeah, it is still snowing out here in Waukesha, so if you're on the roads, please be careful.
Doesn't look quite as...
It's lightened up a little bit.
The clarity looks a little bit better than when I was driving in this morning, but very good timing. Husband Michael Sampson was smart enough to literally yesterday put a... snow scraper in my car.
Well done.
Pretty happy because we do not have a covered garage here, so I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of snow on the car when we leave today. Jane, you can borrow mine if you don't have one.
I have one.
Oh, great. Of course you do.
And because I am old, I already flipped up my wipers.
You know, I will tell this story, and then we're going to get to some more headlines for today that caught my eye. But we now have a garage. But last year at our apartment, before we got our house... we had a parking spot, but not a covered garage.
Right.
And one of those days, I can't remember if it was December or January, but it was one of the nights that it was so cold that not only was my windshield frozen, and luckily I was smart enough not to pour hot water on my windshield.
Just saw a video about that.
So don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But what I did have to do was because the seal of my car, my driver's side car was
frozen
shut. So I couldn't even open the door. So I did pour boiling water on that because I needed to get to work. And I was like, how do I get into my car? Because it's one thing once you're in the car, you can turn on the heat, and you just have to be patient and wait.
Right.
But I couldn't even get in my car.
Oh, so that's hilarious.
I'm very happy to have a garage. That's one of my things I'm grateful for this year.
You in this climate, yeah, if you don't have one, it's truly a pain in the neck.
You give yourself more time. Because you never know what you're waking up
exactly.
to as far as your automobile.
Well, and there's so much water content in this stuff. This is really that wet, slushy, snowy stuff. So if it goes really cold really fast, it's going to get really icy.
Fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Wisconsin.
All right. Well, I misspoke. Yesterday, we talked about how there are four Republicans who are running for the Wisconsin Senate seat that has been announced that the special election will be happening. But as of Wednesday, there actually is a Democrat. The first Democrat has entered the race. And you may recognize the last name if you watch local television at all. Habish, Habish, David and Routier.
It's that Habish.
It's that Habish. It's her. So a Democratic candidate has entered for the Wisconsin's open 8th Senate seat. She joined Wednesday. Jody Habish Sinkin. It's S-I-N-Y-K-I-N. So I need
that
to
sounds right.
Sinkin. She's an attorney from Whitefish Bay. She's lived most of her life in what is the 8th Senate District. And she announced her candidacy for the WOW District. That was on Wednesday. And so it's to replace retiring Senator Alberta Darling, who's been in that seat since 90, 2002.
Forever.
Yeah. And so her quote was, "It would be a privilege to represent the people of the 8th Senate District in the Wisconsin State Senate. As someone who has lived and worked in the district for most of my life, I am committed to creating opportunities that foster a strong sense of community and that ensure open dialogue between residents and myself. I will be a senator who listens and learns from the constituents in the 8th District." So we got someone.
Well, good for her. And I applaud anybody who steps up at this point.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Because who wants to open yourself up to the attack ads and the, you know, oppo research? And so I really give all the candidates a lot of credit.
Absolutely. And so it seems like at least in there will be the primary. There will be a Republican primary because there are 4 different Republicans running for this seat. As of right now, she is the only Democrat running for the seat. So ostensibly, there would be no primary, and then it would just be in for the April election.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins the Republican primary for this seat versus Jody Habish-Sinkin. And it'll be interesting to see, because if she, you know, Habish and Retear, you know, is, I feel like I know that jingle as much as I know the one call that's all jingle. And so I'm assuming that there's potential financial resources behind her and potentially her candidacy. But I guess we'll see. But it could be interesting as far as potentially being a flippable seat, as that part of the state has
changed.
Been a little bit more blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, Respect for Marriage Act passed in the House. And I think the only thing to say about this is the fact that unlike Ron Johnson, who voted against it in the Senate, Wisconsin Republican lawmakers Mike Gallagher and Brian Steil voted for it. A win's a win.
I know. I will take it, I guess.
I'm not going to dissect their reasoning or whatever, because, you know, look at Ron Johnson, who decided to vote against it. But they didn't have to, but they did. And so so that was now headed to Biden's desk. But again, this is a moot law.
Yes.
This law, while it is historic and it is a step, a reminder that as we are right now, Obergefell provides more protection for same-sex marriage, and Loving protects more protection for interracial marriage than if either of those were to be overturned by the Supreme Court. The fallback of what this Safety Net Respect for Marriage Act does is actually less rights than people have right now. Because right now, you are allowed to get married to someone of the same sex in every single state. And if that were to get overturned, it would go back to the states to allow net new marriages, but it would have to honor
existing
marriages. And if you got married, so I did my video for Journal Sentinel this week on the topic, trying to explain this. And I used the example, which is a hypothetical, but this whole bill is in case of a hypothetical. It grants no new rights.
Right.
And which is in the, you know, I don't think it's out of this world to think that if these cases were to be overturned, Wisconsin might be one of the states that does not allow same-sex marriage, and Illinois would be. So if you were someone who went to Illinois to get married but then moved to Wisconsin, Wisconsin would still have to respect your marriage and the legality of it, but would not have to let you get married after it fell. Unless they passed the state legislature, as we just talked with Jim Sintel and the power that they have, passed a law similarly, like we're waiting for them to update the 1849 abortion criminal ban.
Oh,
they'll ever get to that.
There's all kinds of time to fix that, Kristen. What's the rush?
But speaking of that, you know, I think this is a win for Senator Baldwin.
Oh, absolutely.
She really led the charge on this.
Yep.
I don't know if her next project is going to be as successful. So she's now proposing a federal travel fund for women seeking abortions. She introduced this yesterday, and it seeks to establish a 4-year, $350 million annual government grant program that would help support women in Wisconsin and other women across this country to travel long distances to get an abortion. I have a feeling that's not going to have as much bipartisan support.
That will never pass.
No.
Never.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
I mean, maybe not never, at least not in...
Well, not in that form.
Not in this atmosphere.
Yeah, well, and certainly not in the form that she has proposed.
No.
No.
I agree.
It's ambitious and well-intentioned, but no.
But don't hold your breath.
No.
And then some health news. Jane, how old do you feel?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
So some days I feel like I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
And then some days I feel my age, which is 62.
Okay.
But it really depends on the day.
Because I don't feel 36. I mean, I understand that I am. And then it's like there's a great meme that goes, I feel like I'm in my 20s until I hang out with people in their 20s. And I realize, I don't know, I'm definitely in my 30s. and I'm sure every age in conversation is like, oh, you think about the world, how, huh, what? But there is a recent study that found feeling younger than your age is linked with a longer lifespan.
Oh.
So age is in the eye of the beholder. But yeah, research lead Dr. Suzanne Worm says that it's likely because this mindset motivates you to try new things and stay physically and mentally engaged, while feeling older can mean that you're overstressed. So the TLDR, too long, don't read, of that, or the advice to take away of that is think of yourself as younger.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, try new things.
Meet new,
challenge your brain.
Try and make new friends, make new connections, learn new things.
Like you.
Yeah, absolutely. This, since I started with you in July, I have learned so much, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that I'm not just a juvenile delinquent who's never grown up, because I because I often feel younger than I am.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a flip flop, because I think there's something about when you're young wanting to be older. Oh, I'm an old soul.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very mature for my age.
Because it implies wisdom.
Yeah. And then I don't know what that cutoff becomes where your age doesn't reflect how you feel. Like, at what age do you actually feel like your age? And I'm sure it's different for everyone, but maybe your 20s, is that the prime time to feel like you're not trying to get any older, but you actually feel the age that you are?
That's probably accurate.
Because I feel like by the time you're in your 30s, you're like, I do not have this together at all. I'm not adulting the way my parents were adulting when they were. And that's absolutely true for me.
But I do want to reassure you that with age does not necessarily come wisdom. Because I know lots of old, stupid people. In fact, I can look at our state legislature and probably think of a few.
Fair. All right. Well, we're going to take another break, but we have some more headlines, some more fun headlines. Women's volleyball. There is two sisters from Milwaukee who are going to be on SNL this weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then I will let you know the very fun show I saw last night and give them a little love, because I highly recommend going to see it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. He grabs my arm and I respond, let's go. Thomas, we are engaged in a battle for our nation's very soul. Can you get us out of the mess we're in? Hamilton's new financial plan is nothing less than government control. I've been fighting for the South alone. Where have you been? France? Oh. We have to win. Well, what did I miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss? Head first into a political abyss.
Head first into the abyss.
I have my first cabinet meeting today. I guess I better think of something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Highs around 34 this afternoon under overcast skies. Snow likely, becoming mixed precipitation. East winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tonight, 32. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, 38. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Some more headlines to round out the first half of the lunch hour. It is 12:21. Croatia won. Croatia beat Brazil in the World Cup.
That seems unexpected.
I think that was unexpected, but Croatia was the underdog. I mean, they're the ones who were they came in second last time. So they are a tiny country, but obviously has some good athletes. So,
powerful feats.
So yeah, so that is some sports news. Some other sports news. Badger women's volleyball keep rolling on. They beat Penn State, which is very exciting. So yes. I think it was a hard fought match. Or multiple matches, and they so Penn State. I mean, this is like I think one of our when it comes to volleyball, one of our big rivalries as far as always being two of the best teams. But then Marquette has fallen to University of Texas Longhorns, and all have to put our good juju behind the women's Badger
the Lady
volleyball
Badgers
team.
You bet.
Which is easy for me to do,
and I'm really
more of a Badger fan.
I'm really happy they beat Penn State because I think they're snubs.
You think Penn State is snobs?
I think it's a snootier school than Madison.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do.
Well, I guess Ohio State is also a public school, and people make their entire personality. I went to Ohio State. The Ohio State. And so maybe. I feel like I know less people who went to Penn State that I have that association with them.
I could just be picking this out of the sky.
Sure. Okay. But then this week, do you watch SNL very regularly?
I usually see it the next day.
Yeah, I see. These days, I feel like I see the clips that go viral,
right,
of which sketches were really fun. But this weekend, December 10th, Saturday Night Live, Sista Strings, Sista Strings, it will be playing. It's two sisters who are a cellist and a violinist, I think. Monique and Shantae Ross. They are playing backup for Brandi Carlile.
Cool.
As this week's musical guest. And so they're from Milwaukee's North Side, and they first debuted as Sista Strings in 2014 with Shantae playing violin and Monique playing cello. And they released their first EP called Lift in 2019. And then in 2021, they left Milwaukee and they're now in Nashville. But they're making their big debut. Well, I guess it sounds like they were on Jimmy Kimmel and Ellen, and they've been on there. It's not their TV debut, but
still,
it is their SNL debut.
That's huge.
So there's some Wisconsin in the wild for you.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah. And
good for them.
You know, I feel like whenever there's the disruption of what you typically see, whether it's ballet or orchestral instruments, of like the stuffiness and the, you know, the stereotypical vision of what you think of when you think of some of these performing arts.
As a little more uptight.
Yes. To see these two young Black women with their braids and like bright colors that they're wearing and the pictures of them play these like classical instruments. I just always love that visual.
Well, and I am so impressed by anyone who can play a stringed instrument.
I'm impressed by people who can play instruments, period.
Well, that too.
But, yeah, or sing.
But violin, cello, you know, even stand-up bass, I just find that remarkable.
I the cello is one of my favorite instruments. It like pans down.
I just heard someone say that the cello is the closest thing to a human voice.
Oh. Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of musical talent and singing, so we had Dateline last night.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
surprised. Mike was trying to surprise me. And so we went out, we got a drink, went out to dinner. He goes, we have to be done with dinner by 7:30. I was like, are we seeing a show? And he was trying to keep the surprise as long as, no, I'm not seeing a show. Like, are you lying?
Well, we have to be done wrapping up.
Are you lying? And he goes, no. I was like, well, how far are we walking from here? Because we were in the third ward in downtown Milwaukee. It was like 4 or 5 blocks. And then I started to figure it out that our friend, Sean Holmes, shout out to Sean Holmes, I had said that I wanted to see the show that he is in at Skylight Music Theater in the Third Ward called A Jolly Holiday, celebrating Disney's Broadway hits.
Oh.
And so it was my first time in that theater.
It's a really nice
theater. It's a really nice theater. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
With the intimacy of it, but also, I mean, the set that they put on, and I've not been in the Black Box Theater next to it, where the Milwaukee Chamber Theater that is more plays than less music. So I'm going to see a show there next. But I have to say, first of all, the five main people, and now I was going to look up how to pronounce his name to make sure I didn't screw it up. But you know, Ben Timian. He's the guy who sings the national anthem for the Bucks. Really big guy, and he's
oh,
like,
I know who you mean.
Yeah,
sure.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now yep. It's his last name. I was going to look this up, and it's the one thing I forgot to do. But he, because the guy who had been in the show got injured, and so he kind of last minute is now in the show. But it was so fun because I think he's kind of rose to Milwaukee fame as being the good luck charm for the Bucks when he sings the national anthem, and he can really sing.
Yes, he can.
So he was in the show. Our friend Sean was in the show. There's two other women that I didn't recognize, but I mean, and everyone, the five main characters, and then since it's Skylight, they also have a younger cast of like middle school, high school kids who are part of the chorus. And, you know, the premise, like the plot of the show, not strong.
Little loosey-goosey.
Little loosey-goosey, but it's basically just a montage of all of the Disney songs that have been on Broadway. And they just go show by show. So they go Beauty and the Beast. They do The Lion King. They do Mary Poppins. Oh. They do Frozen. They do. It's like, and it's, they did, Ben sang out there from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and he killed it. And it was one of those things where you see people who can sing that well, sing these songs that you know as a Broadway fan, as a Disney fan. And I was just grinning ear to ear the entire show. And so if you are in the Milwaukee area, if you like Disney, if your kids like Disney, if you like Broadway, the show runs until December 31st. And so I highly recommend checking it out. It is so much fun. The singing is so good. And yeah, so good job, Michael Sampson. It was a good surprise. All right, when we come back, more Supreme Court talk, except the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not the United States Supreme Court. Matthew Rothschild will be here to talk about some of the history of how we got to where we are. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the...
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. Croatia is moving on to the semifinals at the World Cup for the second straight time, beating five-time champion Brazil 4-2 in a penalty shootout. The match had finished 1-1 after extra time, with both goals coming in the additional 30 minutes. Croatia will next face either Argentina or the Netherlands. The government says wholesale prices rose 7.4% last month, a fifth straight slowdown. More from the AP's Sagar Magani.
Inflation remains a problem, but it's slowing from a four-decade peak over the summer. AAA says gas prices are now below their average a year ago, and supply chain snarls are easing. The producer price data can often signal where consumer prices are heading, and the government's highest profile inflation measure will come out next week.
Meantime, stocks are drifting on Wall Street today after that report. Inflation is slowing, but not as much as hoped. I'm Ed Donahue.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your...
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Some of Wisconsin's largest utilities say they're ready to respond after a recent gunfire attack on substations in North Carolina left thousands of people in the dark. The targeted attack by one or more people damaged equipment and left over 45,000 customers without power on Saturday. Thousands remained without power until the company repaired the damaged equipment and gradually restored power on Wednesday. The Associated Press reporting federal authorities warn the power grid is a target for domestic extremists who've been developing specific plans to attack infrastructure since at least 2020. In February, Oshkosh resident Jackson Solwell pled guilty to conspiring to provide material support to terrorists. After plotting to attack a Midwest substation using rifles to penetrate transformers, Solwell and conspirators said they were willing to die in the scheme. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
No matter where you are listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com or Spotify or Apple. And we always love for you to let us know and join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So we have already started talking about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We're going to continue talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But I would like to find more interesting ways to talk about it because just reminding you every day of how important it is probably gets a little old. So I thought it might be interesting to get some background on how we got here and how this nonpartisan race for a position that is supposed to be very objective has become so partisan in Wisconsin. And so here to talk us through is someone who knows a thing or two about the influence of money on our democracy. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Matthew Rothschild.
Thanks, Chris, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
So this is the first time he's on many other civic media shows, and so I'm sure you probably have heard him before on Dueling Tangents or Devil's Advocates, but first time on my show. So welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, it's a thrill, and you're doing a great job. And I love the expansion of civic media. Really important for democracy in Wisconsin to have a diverse media, especially on talk radio.
Absolutely. We very much agree, and we're very happy to be here. And so I guess... So I'm relatively new back to Wisconsin. I grew up here, grew up in Madison, left in 2003, came back in 2020, and it was a very, not that I was paying attention that closely to Wisconsin politics as a child slash preteen, but very different place. And it seems like what I've gathered from my time in the newsroom at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, my time running As Goes Wisconsin, that something shifted, and one of those things is how partisan, and not even trying to hide it anymore, these Wisconsin Supreme Court races have become. And so I thought you'd be a good person to ask, like, was it always like this, or did something shift?
No, it wasn't always like this. And you're right, Chris, to uphold the ideal of independent, nonpartisan judiciary, where judges and Supreme Court justices don't let their personal biases or their political preferences enter into how they decide cases. That's the ideal. We should try to get back to that ideal. But that ideal has kind of gone down the tubes, and it started really in the mid 2000s. The race that I pinpoint is 2007, where a lawyer in Madison named Linda Clifford was challenging Annette Ziegler. I happen to know Linda Clifford. She was a neighbor of mine.
Oh, wow.
And I saw her at the grocery store one day in the midst of her campaign, and I asked, "How's it going?" And she said, "I'm just getting killed by all this outside money." And so I just looked up what happened in 2007. And as a baseline, I went to 2003, which was the previous Wisconsin Supreme Court race between Justice Rogensack and Ed Brunner. There was only $24,500 spent in outside money in 2003. By 2007, it was more than 100 times that. It was $3 million.
Wow.
That's dramatic. Yeah. And what happened was Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the leading business lobby in the state and the biggest contributor to Republican candidates in this state for decades, decided that they could essentially buy seats on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So they poured in $2.2 million to get Annette Ziegler to stay on the court. And Democratic groups were kind of caught flat-footed. I mean, they ended up coughing up about $400,000, but they got way outspent by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Club for Growth. And that really set the table for the next really grotesque exercise in Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce money when they paid a person named Michael Gableman, who may be familiar to a lot of your listeners, in 2008 to run against Lewis Butler, the first African-American jurist on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they just slimed him with some of the most racist ads we ever saw in Wisconsin. And that's when things really got cemented in place, that now you have candidates who are backed by Democrats and candidates who are backed by Republicans in the big business lobby.
And that is the, because I only learned about that specifically, because I knew less about the Ziegler case, and I had heard, you know, because obviously Michael Gableman has been in the news a lot in the last 2 years. And for someone who, for a lot of people, because our political memory, I think, can be short because things happen fast and there's always a new thing to be talking about. But it sounds like his campaign, also backed by WMC, and I'm assuming it was even more money than even the one prior with the Ziegler race. But like you said, it's not only that they were subversively, subjectively racist. They also were outright lies in his ads, right? And wasn't there, even once he was elected narrowly, like he was potentially going to face disciplinary action, but the people who would have had to enforce disciplinary action was the Supreme Court.
Right. There was a complaint filed that he had run an unethical campaign and should be disciplined by the and who disciplines a justice? But the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the members of that court and his right wing colleagues didn't want to discipline him for it. So he got off scot-free there. Similarly, you know, they haven't wanted to recuse themselves, some justices who have conflicts of interest, and the League of Women Voters and other groups like the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Common Cause have urged the Wisconsin Supreme Court to get tighter recusal rules when they have conflicts of interest. But neither Gableman nor David Prosser would recuse themselves, for instance, in the John Doe 2 case in 2015 against Scott Walker, and they had benefited to the tune of more than $1 million spent on their behalf by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which was being investigated in the John Doe 2 case. So they had an obvious conflict of interest. But you know who wrote their conflict of interest policy at the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Realtors Association, two of the biggest donors to the conservative and reactionary justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's a really sad story because under Chief Justice Shirley Abramson, for a long time, Wisconsin's Supreme Court had a great reputation as one of the best state Supreme Courts in the country. And our reputation has just gone down the tubes over the last 10 years.
We're talking to Matt Rothschild, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, which I own. I think that was a Christmas gift that my mom gave me last year. And
bless her heart.
And I... Because I feel like a lot of vitriol gets pointed to the Tavern League when it comes to lobbying firms in Wisconsin. But it sounds like when you actually pull back the curtain, not that they don't have a lot of influence, but it really comes back to WMC as far as how much influence. But it feels like not a lot of people know that unless you are a political junkie, specifically a political junkie of Wisconsin politics.
Yeah, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is the biggest player in politics here in Wisconsin. They've spent more than $28 million since 2010 to elect Republicans to the state legislature and to the governorship, far and away the biggest spender. They're also the biggest lobbyist in the state capitol. I mean, the Tavern League is important, too, especially on bills relating to alcohol and maybe on legalizing pot. I mean, maybe they're opposing that. I don't know. But they're a big player in the anything about, you know, alcohol, obviously. But and they were very upset about the COVID regulations because it was hurting their businesses. I get that. But as powerful as the Tavern League is, they're nothing as compared to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce actually wasn't totally ideological in the way it is now. When I got to Wisconsin in 1983, I mean, I've been here four decades now, and just over the last 20 years, they've just been increasingly an arm of the Republican Party.
So, Matt, what is the WMC's goal?
Yeah, that was my question.
No regulations. We can pollute everything. More tax cuts for businesses. And I find Wisconsin's Club for Growth such an oxymoron because they want to send us back 100 years. We're not moving forward.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that group.
Yeah, they were a big group. Again, they were one of the groups that was being investigated in 2015 by the John Doe 2 prosecutor, because what Walker was doing, he was going around the state and around the country getting super rich right wingers to write six and seven figure checks to either Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce or Wisconsin Club for Growth. And then Walker would tell Wisconsin Club for Growth how to spend that money. So they've been a player intermittently here in Wisconsin and were a big player during the Walker years. What does Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce want? What a lot of big businesses want, which is, if we look at what are the obstacles in the way of businesses maximizing profits to the detriment of society and the environment and workers and consumers? There are only two things that stand in the way. One is government regulations, reasonable regulations on what corporations can do, and the other is unions. And what happened during the Walker administration was they went after both. They destroyed public sector unions and with so-called right to work went after private sector unions. So unionization has dropped by 50% here in Wisconsin. And then, you know, when there's Republicans in charge, as there were during the Walker administration, they just took a sledgehammer to any regulations on the environment and on other issues, just to help corporations. You know, that's Walker's first thing he said when he got elected. He changed the sign to open for business. And so that's, so Wisconsin Manufacturers Commerce has been very clever. You know, not only are they electing people to the legislature and to the governor's office, they've been electing people to the Supreme Court here in Wisconsin, so that the Supreme Court will rubber stamp any anti-regulation and anti-labor move that the legislature passes.
So in it feels like similar to any race where we see more and more money, like you can have your morals and feel like this is wrong. And we wish that there, you know, Citizens United wasn't a thing and that this much money wasn't influencing our campaign. But as Democrats feel like they need to play the game, they're ultimately, because I mean, like I said, I saw a whole thread on how already involved, even before the primary, Wisconsin Democrat Party is in this race that is supposed to be nonpartisan. And so is there a way to roll it back and be, have these races, so long as we're electing them, be actually objective and nonpartisan? Or is it basically too far down the rabbit hole?
Well, right now we're in the midst of a huge arms race as far as money in politics here in Wisconsin. And that's because of Citizens United, the terrible Supreme Court case in 2010 that said rich people can spend as much as they want and corporations can spend as much as they want to tell us who to vote for and who not to vote for. We've got to overturn that. You're right. And the best way to do that is pass a constitutional amendment that says corporations aren't persons, you know, and actually money isn't actually speech, which seems pretty reasonable. The funny thing is, in Wisconsin, as recently as 2009, we had a bill passed in the legislature signed by Governor Doyle called the Impartial Justice Act, which we worked hard on, as did Common Cause and the League of Women Voters. And that gave us public financing for campaigns. It didn't do anything about the outside groups, but at least the campaigns had a limit on what they were going to spend and decided to take public financing. But as soon as Walker got in, they threw that one out too. So until we get a legislature and a governor that are committed to campaign finance reform, there's nothing we're going to be able to do now here in Wisconsin. And also because of the horrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions, there's a limit as to what we could even do if we had the legislature that we dreamed of and the governor that we dreamed of.
Throws water bottle across the studio. All right. Matt Rothschild is going to stick with us through the break. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Maybe we'll hear more about what the work is that you do over there and how important it is when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Overcast this afternoon with a mixture of precipitation likely. Highs level off around 34. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. 32 tonight. Chance for mixed precipitation. 37 tomorrow. Chance for mixed precipitation. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Matt Rothschild, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we were talking about kind of the history of how things started to shift and the nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court races became so unapologetically partisan and how much money has influenced them now. And I'm assuming that if you look at the bar graph, similar to all of our campaigns, whether it's governor, senators, each year is just more and more and more money. And it's a record-breaking year each time.
Pretty much. I mean, we just posted a bar graph on our website about the record spending just last month, or the lead up to last month in the campaigns. And in the spending by outside groups this year was five times what the spending was back in 2010. I mean, it's just unbelievable. $93 million spent by outside groups here in Wisconsin for the governor's race and the attorney general's race and state legislature. I'm not even talking about the U.S. Senate race either. This doesn't even count that, which was over $100 million too. And we saw how ugly and racist the ads were for Ron Johnson, both by Ron Johnson himself and by this wrongly named Wisconsin Truth Pack that Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline founded and funded. They spent about $20 million, $28 million, I think, to slime Mandela Barnes in some of the most racist and ugly ways that I've ever seen. So, yeah, I mean, everyone listening knows that your screens were just splattered with mud by these outside groups over the last several months. And it was pretty evenly split, actually, between groups supporting Republicans and groups supporting Democrats, with the Republican groups having about a $4 million advantage. But, you know, in a democracy, it shouldn't be a tug of war between a handful of billionaires on the right and a handful of billionaires on the left. In a real democracy, we'd all have an equal say. We'd all have an equal tug on that rope, and we just don't. And I think everyone listening understands that.
Well, it's not only that, because it's also the amount, when we say outside money, it's people who are trying to influence, who do not live in Wisconsin, and trying to influence races that those of us who do live here have to live with the consequences of those elections. And it's speaks to a bigger thing as far as power and control of who, and why are they so invested in the first place in statewide elections of a state that they don't live in?
Yeah, it's crazy that there's no limit on that. And our politics have just become so nationalized over the last, you know, 10 years, mm-hmm. that big liberals and big conservatives, whenever there's a swing state or an important race in a swing state, they decide to get out their checkbook. But, you know, before 2015, no one in Wisconsin could give more than $10,000 to political parties. But then the Republicans and Walker rewrote that law in 2015 to totally tear down that ceiling. So now there's no limit on what a rich individual in Wisconsin or outside of Wisconsin can donate to the Republican Party of Wisconsin or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And then, like Michaels' brothers, who gave $1.5 million each to the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin then turned around and gave $3 million in change to Michael. So it was just, you know, they were using the parties as a laundromat.
Well, I guess that's a good segue to, for anyone who is not familiar with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, what is the work that you do, that the group does, and if people want to either get involved or learn more about what they can even do if they care about how this much money is eroding the average person's power when it comes to voting, here's your chance to recruit some people.
Well, you know, I just talk and write. I got the easy job. Our staff, we got a great staff of researchers, and they track the money in politics, both the direct contributions to campaigns and then the so-called independent expenditures done by these groups that tell you explicitly who to vote for. And then we also track or try to track down and put at least an estimate on the money spent by the dark money groups. So that's one of the main things we do. We have a website that's unique. And user-friendly, where you can just look up, you know, a big contributor you know, or if you think your neighbor who's got a sign out in his or her yard, you want to know how much money they're giving to whichever candidate, you can put their name in the on our website, and boom, you get all that information. So it's really helpful for concerned citizens and for the media. And then we just advocate on a broad range of pro-democracy reforms, of course, campaign finance reform being one, banning gerrymandering, defending voting rights across the board.
So then going back to your book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, because I think you and I did talk about this about a year ago, because it came out last year, right?
Yeah, last year at about this time.
And so In the year since you published it, is there a different priority? Is there anything else you'd add to the list? Or what do you think is the number one? If we could only pick one of the 12, what would you pick?
Well, that's really hard. But interesting thing is, and I'm not going to answer it, but the thing I couldn't discuss in my book that I've talked a lot and written about over the last year is this anti-democracy movement in the country and in the state. You know, the total denialists about what happened in November 2020, you know, the people who still, you know, they're like Japanese soldiers 10 years after the war won't recognize that Joe Biden actually won the election fair and square. And the white nationalism that's part of this anti-democracy movement, the Trump cult, the irrationalism behind it, the propaganda from right-wing media, that's really something that I wasn't able to focus on because I was just reading page proofs when January 6th happened. But it's a real threat, I think, still, even as Trump is floundering. The white nationalist movement isn't going away. The reactionary movement, what I call the anti-democracy movement, isn't going away. So that's something I wanted to get into the book, but couldn't.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm curious, because you are surrounded by all of this, unfortunately, really bad news about our democracy. Do you chant or do you meditate or something, or do you just go scream into the void when you can't take it anymore?
Well, I have a wonderful wife of 37 years who is a great person to be with. I have hobbies. I birdwatch all the time. I go out in the yard and chop wood. And so, you know, I take care of myself. I'm not, and I don't believe in being a workaholic either. So I try to take my weekends off. I'm trying to take parts of Fridays off. I'm going to go watch a soccer game as soon as I get off here.
Nice.
So, yeah, I try to take care of myself.
That is important. Self-care. Hashtag self-care. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us today. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can actually catch him at Turner Hall for a panel on voting rights and human rights this Saturday at 10:30 to noon.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. You too, Chris.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, the guys from Wisconsin Drunken History will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.